The U.S. Senate expects to vote on a short-term spending bill this month to avoid an October government shutdown. U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says the Democratic majority in the Senate will resist the budget cuts proposed by House GOP members. He says the cuts violate the debt limit agreement between President Biden and Speaker McCarthy.
This fight will make a difference to Connecticut and to every state around the country. We're talking here about basic fairness.
The Biden administration has pushed for Congress to pass a short-term continuing resolution to allow more time to negotiate long-term spending bills. Hey, hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. There's a heat advisory in effect in our region this week. A New Haven alderman wants Trump off the ballot. And what's changed since Connecticut required police to wear body cameras? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Cities across Connecticut and Long Island have activated their hot weather protocol in response to a heat wave. Temperatures are expected to be in the 90s until at least Thursday. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
High temperatures and humidity can cause a range of heat-related illnesses, especially in vulnerable populations such as children and the elderly. State and local leaders are urging residents to drink more water than usual and stay in the air conditioning if they can. Cooling centers are available across Connecticut and Long Island for people seeking refuge. Call 211 to find one near you. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New Haven Alderman Troy Streeter and his attorney Alex Tobis are petitioning to ban Donald Trump from appearing on Connecticut's primary and general ballot for the 2024 presidential election. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more.
The petition cites Trump's role in aiding the January 6th insurrection as grounds to render him ineligible for the presidency. Taubes says that the Constitution bans anyone who has engaged in insurrection while in office from running in the future. The petition is on its way to Secretary of State Stephanie Thomas. It says she has the power to make a declaratory ruling against Trump being on the ballot. And unless he appeals, Thomas's ruling could keep Trump from running in Connecticut. Representatives from the office report they're reviewing Connecticut election laws to address the case, but Taubes says there isn't anything standing in Secretary Thomas's way. He speculates that Democrats in the state might want Trump on the ballot to get other Democrats to the polls.
Connecticut law necessarily abides by the Constitution of the United States. Nothing is going to stop Stephanie Thomas, as Secretary of the State, from taking this action except for political will.
The Secretary of State's office says they are yet to formally receive the letter. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
A Bridgeport co-op has been awarded a $500,000 three-year state grant to help provide fresh produce for purchase in a city neighborhood considered a food desert. Brian Hurlbert is the state's agriculture commissioner. He says the grant to Bridgeport's East End NRZ Market and Cafe would help sustain local farmers.
Investing those dollars into Connecticut farmers to supply the food is a great investment in local food systems and agriculture and small businesses. So it's a win-win.
The initiative called City Fresh is aimed at not only providing local produce to food deserts, but also to teach the community to cook with the fresh fruits and veggies to make culturally relevant meals. Police body cameras became mandatory in Connecticut 2 years ago. How things have changed in the state since then, after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Mm-hmm. 15 more mosquito samples in Suffolk County are positive for West Nile virus. That brings the total to 69 mosquito samples in addition to a positive Jamestown Canyon virus sample so far this summer. At least two county residents have been infected. Officials recommend using bug repellent, wearing long sleeves, and staying inside after dusk to avoid getting bitten by an infected mosquito. Removing standing water can also disrupt the insect's egg laying. Bridgeport Public Schools are short 67 teachers as the school year begins today. The majority of the open positions are in elementary schools. Administrators blame the lack of college graduates seeking a career in education. The LIRR has launched a new schedule today in an effort to address some of the issues caused by the opening of the Grand Central Madison Terminal. The changes include more express trains, more trains to Atlantic Terminal in Brooklyn, and more evening trains out of Penn Station. Police in Connecticut have been required to wear body cameras since 2021, but aside from police transparency, has anything else changed? Mark Pazniokas is bureau chief at the Connecticut Mirror. He spoke with WSHU's Ebong Udama about how criminal justice has changed in Connecticut since the state passed the police accountability law.
You're right that police body-worn cameras have been in use in Connecticut since 2015. But they only became mandatory in 2021. That's because of the 2020 police accountability law passed in the wake of the George Floyd incident. How have things changed in Connecticut?
Well, the one thing that's quite clear is transparency. There is greater transparency into all these critical incidents, given that the use of the body-worn cameras is now universal for state and police officers. There's still a little wrinkle with federal law enforcement, but that's generally not where these incidents occur. But the other thing that's been striking is that these videos, when something happens, they are released almost immediately. There's a deadline set in state law, no later than 96 hours after an incident. The videos must be made public. And Robert Devlin, who is the first inspector general, he is the individual responsible for reviewing all police use of deadly force, whether it resulted in death or not. But if all shootings, use of chokeholds, that kind of thing. And he has been very quick to turn around these videos and put them out. Initially, there was reluctance by police about whether this would be good or bad. And there has been a conclusion on the part of police as well as municipal officials. It is better to get this stuff out, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Just get it out and let the public see, in many instances, what the officer saw.
Now, what's the significance of these videos being released so quickly? And how is that different from the rest of the country?
So prior to the passage of the law, there was an incident in Hartford where the police were trying to serve an arrest warrant on somebody who was wanted in some shootings. And there was confrontation at the end of a chase. And this guy was shot while he was being dragged from a cruiser. And the view of some of the eyewitnesses was pretty alarming. The question was this necessary? And the mayor of Hartford at that point was urging the prosecutor who had that case to quickly put out the video, even though the law was unclear, because he knew that the video showed what those witnesses could not see, which is the man who was shot by the police was actually holding a gun in his hand and was pointing it at the cops. And so, Luke Bronin, says it was very important in Hartford for the public to see that. And unlike some other places where there's been these kind of lingering controversy or questions about what happened or even who was involved, there's a case that's going on now in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There was a college student who seemed to be having some mental health crisis. He had a knife. He was shot to death by a Cambridge police officer. They did not have body-worn cameras, but Cambridge has not even disclosed who the officer was.
This incident happened when?
That happened in January of this year. So 8-9 months later, there's still questions. And this has become a big controversy in Cambridge. And you contrast that with what happened in Hartford in 2019, even before the law required the release. There was really no controversy. I'm not saying everybody was pleased with the police action, but at least you could see what had happened. And, you know, the mayor of Hartford, police officers, and others all say this clearly is healthier for people to see and get a quick glance as to what happened. And then there'll be a more detailed investigation as to whether an officer was justified or not in the use of deadly force.
And you say here that there's research that has found that complaints actually drop when these videos are quickly released.
Yeah, the jury's still out about whether it has affected use of force. But what is clear is the more mundane complaints. Was an officer rude? Did an officer use language that was inappropriate? Those kind of complaints, the early research shows, really shrink in number because it's very easy. In the old days, it was what the cops insisted happen and what the citizen insisted happen. Now you go to the video and you can hear and see the police officer, or at least the police officer's view.
But not everyone has accepted that the police accountability law does not violate some civil liberties and things like that. You say the ACLU has some issues with the law?
Yes, primarily what the accountability law did not change is the legal standard, which is, did a police officer have a reasonable belief that the officer or a third party was in imminent danger? And that is written to give a police officer in the midst of a very tense situation the benefit of the doubt. And by the way, the United States Supreme Court has also ruled in cases and set that similar standard. So somebody I talked to at the ACLU said, look, officers are judged by a different standard than other people are. And really what that means is a police officer does not have to be correct in the belief that somebody was reaching for a gun. It may turn out the officer was wrong. The legal standard is, did the officer have a reasonable belief that that person was reaching for a gun? In the case of the one instance in which an officer has been charged with a crime since the passage of the accountability law, the question is going to come down to that trooper. Can he show he had a reasonable belief in thinking that the fact that a guy in a locked car with a knife was a threat to another officer who, as it turned out, had no intention of getting into that car? So the question is going to be, you see the word reasonable over and over and over again. And that's what will be before a jury at some point in Connecticut on that. But that's the bigger complaint from the ACLU, that basic standard has not changed. But I don't see how that standard can change based on Supreme Court precedent.
Well, thank you so much, Paz. Mark Pazniokas is the Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. His article is titled, Connecticut Has Required Police Body Cameras for 2 Years. What's Changed? I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org, or you can download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you want to share with us, please send an email to news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.